Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick. I'm joined by Stephen Black. He's the executive director of First Stone Ministries and the author of Freedom Realized, Finding Freedom from Homosexuality and Living Life Free from Labels. What's that mean?
Free from labels. In our culture, people want to wear an identity that is a construct of sin, like gay or ex-gay or whatever, bisexual, transsexual, queer now. That's a new label. This is a coming into Christ, and you embrace his identity. And so the only label you're going to be wearing is being a child of God, being Christ-centered. And so you're free from labels. And there's a lot of people in the book that talk about that as well.
And free from labels, in your case, you came out of homosexuality. How'd that happen?
35 years ago, I had an amazing encounter with Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. I didn't know that he wasn't the Lord. I actually thought I was a Christian raised in Catholicism. But I had an encounter, and at that time I had been living gay identified for 8 years. And in the midst of that encounter, I realized I was not a Christian. I actually needed Jesus Christ to save me. And I had a radical transforming experience that delivered me from homosexual sexual addiction. I had to work on my stuff for a few years in counseling and getting a lot of inner healing work of my soul, but he set me free from homosexuality 35 years ago.
When you say you had to have counseling, was it with ministers or professionals?
It was all the above. So I had a professional person who did counseling and inner healing ministry, and then I had a pastor who mentored me for several years.
Well, is that what should happen in cases like this?
That's a good question. Ideally, it would be so helpful for people to be in a community that is affirming, at the same time receiving intensive counseling for many of the issues that are behind homosexuality, such as more than 50%, usually 55 to 60% of everyone that we see have childhood sexual abuse issues. So that's pretty traumatic. So you need someone who actually knows how to unpack the soul and process through grief and sorrow to find healing. And then also, what does it mean to be the created gender being that God made you? And to work through that. And then if you can have a pastor and a support system that comes beside you to teach you good theology, and then so now you have the psychological piece and the theological piece working together to bring wholeness to the soul, and that's imperative.
And you contend that a lot of people who are in homosexuality or transgenderism, it started with some form of abuse.
Yeah, tragically, especially people that are transsexual or have real high dysfunction in their sexuality, the numbers are even higher that they've had some kind of a traumatic issue, either with sexual abuse or some really overt, perverse things, or really tragic bullying. Things that have happened in their life, in their childhood. It's very traumatic to the mind and the identity, especially when you have a small boy, like one of the people that I had ministered to for years, whose stepfather, took him out to the barn and continuously would tell him, as he was molesting him, telling him that he was better a woman than a male. And so that was just ingrained in him. So he went to the Philippines and had a sex change operation and later committed suicide.
How tragic. So that's where professional counseling comes in,
right?
Beyond a pastor.
That's right, because the professional can help unpack all of the asking the right questions and getting a person to actually unpack the pain and the sorrow, the deep places of grief. And forgiveness is a huge issue. Really needing to know how to forgive. In the church at large, we will command or speak the commandment, you shall forgive, you must forgive. But that's not real helpful for a person who has been abused if that's the first thing they hear. They need to hear, you need to process through your sorrow, your grief. You need to feel angry enough. You need to understand what's happened to you and then process through that so that they can really do the work of forgiveness.
But you need to be careful, I would imagine, on where the professional counseling is coming from.
Yeah, that is exactly true. In our day, unfortunately, there is an attack on really holistic counseling that comes from a Judeo-Christian belief system that actually believes God's word in gender and creation and his divine intent for sexuality. So yeah, you need to check out, make sure that your counselors are doing a good job, a reputable counselor that I would say is good if they're connected to the local church that believes the Bible. I'm a part of the Restored Hope Network, and Restored Hope Network has counselors that are, you know, soundly grounded on the foundation of our doctrine and policies. And that really helps to weed out some of the people that would actually affirm people in dysfunction.
That's a good point. There are a lot of counselors out there who buy into the idea that people are born into homosexuality and you can't change.
Right, they do. And in this day, you know, from the White House down, lit up in gay rainbows, we have people that have affirmed the idea of homosexuality. We now have it as early as kindergarten now, with Heather has two mommies and Joey has two daddies, and it's really pretty tragic. So the culture itself has bought into the lie, and now we have the science on our side. The Atlantis Journal with the study on human sexuality and gender came out last year, and it conclusively shows that no one is born gay, and that actually the statistics and the numbers on this is that people are really traumatized and even come out on the other side if they're affirmed in these dysfunction, especially transsexuality, have a much higher rate disproportionately to the just the regular population, like 41% as opposed to 5%. So this is tragic, and it's happening at an earlier age. We have the idea now that we're going to, you know, give hormone blockers to children. I liken that unto child abuse. And so we really do need to come beside, and pastors and leaders need to speak the truth. And the counselors that know better need to be bold enough and courageous enough to also stand up and say, this is wrong. We do have a small group of people in the United States that are doing that, but not nearly enough.
Your book kind of flies in the face of conventional leftist wisdom on this whole issue. And your research, your findings are really kind of eye-opening.
Yeah, I love this. It's called Freedom Realized, and I have a website called freedomrealized.org where people can order it or order it off of Amazon. But what we did is when Alan Chambers and the people at Exodus and now gay advocates and people would say nobody can change, 99.9%, went on Oprah Network, told the world, apologized to the gay community, nobody can change. Well, that made me go, I wonder what 25 years of client folders reveal. We had 25 years of 1,200 people in storage. So what we did as a ministry is we gathered those, we put them in a database, we were able to make contact with 500. Out of the 500, 185 filled out a survey, and in the survey it gave us the results that are in this book. Bottom line, 72 to 73% of the people that came through of the focus group, which was about 149, of those people go on to live a life without labels. They go on to live an identity in Jesus Christ as their Lord, and they're set free from an idea that they will ever act out homosexually or any other form of sexual promiscuity or whatever. They live a life congruent with their faith and surrender to Christ. So that's a beautiful thing. That's a whole lot bigger than the 99.9%. And then of those people, to be fair, 55% of them said that they do have some levels of same-sex attraction, which we all struggle with temptation, but none of them are acting on it. They're actually going on and they're living productive Christian lives.
So those numbers are really kind of shocking.
They are.
And the media not reporting on this.
No.
They're not attacking the numbers so much. The problem is omission.
Yeah. They're quiet because they're seeing this coming on the horizon. The science, new surveys, there's also some more surveys that are coming out that are conclusively showing that people actually do change. People change their behavior all the time. And so this idea that somehow someone can't change their behavior, or even the idea that orientation is fixed, which we now know that that's not true. Orientation is not something that's fixed. Gender is fixed. They're out there now saying, you know, gender's fluid, but somehow orientation isn't fluid. And it's actually the opposite. Orientation is very fluid. And in this, we know from a biblical worldview, people are going to make choices, whatever they want to do with their sexuality. And so, especially in female homosexuality, we see even a greater level of fluidity in women being involved in lesbian relationships and then going back to having heterosexual relationships and then even having children and raising family.
But the numbers that are so promising, they come as a result of what? Is it because of a spiritual awakening? Christ has entered their lives. What's happened?
Yeah, in our ministry, is certainly that is more than 95% of the people that come to us were already identified as Christian. And so the reason I believe our numbers are high is because it is Christ-centered. It is founded on the Word of God, and the Word of God is transformative. The Spirit of God comes into these people when they are completely surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord, and they're experiencing transformation.
All right, this is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, joined by Stephen Black with First Stone Ministries. He's got a great new book out, and we'll continue our discussion after this.
Hi, this is Pastor McCracken, pastor of the Church of Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in Markham, Illinois. For the last 4 years, our church has been struggling to overcome the city's efforts to shut us down. In the midst of all of our legal issues, we felt overwhelmed and discouraged. All we wanted to do was worship the Lord and serve our community. We needed a law firm that not only had the knowledge of the law, but the same commitment of the kingdom of God. The Lord connected us with the law firm of Malcolm Baker. The attorneys at Malcolm Baker have not only provided us with exceptional legal representation and counsel, but have also provided us with the added gift of lawyers who pray with us and seek the guidance of the Lord at every step. After working with Malcolm Baker, we can't imagine working with anyone else.
Hi, this is Noel Stert, an attorney with Malcolm Baker. If your church or ministry has any legal needs, please call us 312-726-1243 or look us up online at malcolmbaker.com.
Hi, this is Kurt Jarris, the host of Veracity Hill. Veracity Hill is a radio podcast dedicated to striving for truth on faith, politics, and society. I don't have all the answers, but join me as I explore important topics with guests from respective fields. To learn more, text the word VERACITY to 555-888. That's VERACITY to the number 555-888, or check out our website at veracityhill.com.
Thanks once again for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, and I'm joined by Stephen Black with First Stone Ministries. He's the executive director and the author of a book called Finding Freedom from Homosexuality and Living Life Free from Labels. Tell us a little about First Stone Ministries.
Yeah, First Stone was founded in 1976 by a mom and dad that came to the church at that time seeking help for their son who was gay identified. And they didn't get a lot of help at that time. There was a network of ministries that were starting to form, and First Stone was a part of that called Exodus International. Since then, that that place defunct and imploded. And we started a new network of ministries, and First Stone, myself, are part of the founding of the Restored Hope Network. So First Stone's been around for 40, 41 years, and what we offer is pastoral care, support group, intensive discipleship, what we would call counseling. We come from a spiritual, deep-rooted, biblical orthodox position. We call it discipleship, and we offer support groups, public teaching, and now writing books and lots of literature and resources. And we have a website with over 100 articles that help people to understand and navigate having gay-identified loved ones, understanding all forms of sexual sin and brokenness. So that's First Stone in a nutshell.
Well, Stephen and I have connected at the Americans for Truth About Homosexuality conference. And one of the things that you brought out, this whole debate about transgenderism, if we can use that term, has kind of opened the door for discussions. And people are saying, wait a minute, maybe this is going too far.
Yeah, it's going too far when we see that now at elementary level, school age, and children being given hormone blockers. And so what that does is that stops them, these high powerful drugs not only stop them from entering into puberty, it also, just the drug itself is also being questioned because it can harm their bone structure. And so we have this unpacking, but when we look at this, and when we know that children are so formative, and children are actually, the numbers are really high, I can't remember exactly, but it's a very high percentage of people that at one time, children and teenagers, that thought they wanted to transition, later actually decide they don't. They don't want this. And so unfortunately, we're going to now do this to children and think that this is acceptable and even a good thing. Even had this on Oprah, you know, it's like this interview, how wonderful this must be. But actually, I look at it as child abuse. We are not loving and mentoring these children properly. And so to pump their bodies full of drugs and stop them from developing in their normal gender identity is tragic. And so that is the big discussion right now.
Well, here in Illinois, the whole issue of transgenderism is entering the bathrooms and locker rooms in our government public schools. And if you decide to challenge that, you're a hater.
Right.
How do you counter that?
Well, first of all, I think we just have to look at the common sense and actually even start unpacking what is happening in our society when we now know that there are people that are doing this under the idea that they're trans so that they can go into these bathrooms and actually commit sexual acts against children. So this is a real problem because we're actually in a very, very small population number, percentage-wise, to actually now bow down to these special desires and wants. They're not even really needs. They're desires and wants. Because no one who is identifying as transgender or transsexual has to go into a bathroom that's even designated in most places to either male or female. They can go to a family bathroom. And even facilities that do not have that, and now we're talking about the public school systems, we need to actually protect the greater population of our children rather than succumbing to somebody's desires and their wants to be affirmed in their actual, we know scientifically and sociologically and psychologically that these people are typically dealing with some form of mental illness. And so that's a real problem. And so legislators and people that are in government really need to do their research because we're actually harming our society and we're actually harming the greater good of children that would be subjected to such things.
Well, here in Illinois, we have a law in place signed by our governor that bans what the left calls conversion therapy. We would refer to it as reparative therapy. Illinois, one of a handful of states to do this. In this situation, what can we do? What can a pastor do?
Well, first of all, I think we need to get educated about what the therapy is being offered. And for the most part, the left or the LGBTQ community would say that what's being offered is akin to torture. It's an absolute, complete fabrication. It is not the truth. What is being offered is more what we would call talk therapy. There's nobody with machines. There's nobody with, you know, some kind of bizarre therapy that is trying to shock or hurt people. What's actually going on is talk therapy, and these people, for the most part, want help. And in ministries like ours, we don't offer reparative therapy, but what we do offer has some of what would be the techniques in reparative therapy, which is talk, counseling, discipleship. And this is imperative for anybody to find freedom, and especially we're talking about people that want it. Nobody's going out and forcing people into reparative therapy. Now they would say, well, but parents will take their children and force them. For the most part, all the ministries that I'm a part of, if we know that a teenager or somebody is in our office and they don't want help, we will stop. We will cease the counseling and trying to help. We'll actually befriend them and try to just, you know, make a pathway of friendship and comfort in their, you know, whatever they're going through, before we would ever try to do any kind of counseling or therapy. And most of the therapists that I know, they're educated, they're wise enough to know this, and they are very helpful professionals, and they would never want to harm somebody. So this is a ruse. It's not the truth that's being reported. The reality is this is a recruitment technique of the LGBTQ community to stop anyone from under 18 to get aligned to their God-given gender and their sexuality, so that they're communicating to these young people, gay is the only way. Now that to me is a form of child abuse. Gay is the only way for these children, so that by the time they're 18 and they're told repeatedly, you must accept your orientation and your homosexuality, so they're right to go right into the bars and into homosexuality. And this is what our legislators have done. They have no idea how actually, in the grand scheme of things, how criminal that is and how abusive that is to souls.
You said that your ministry, First Stone Ministries, is different from reparative therapy. How so?
Yeah, we unapologetically will tell people when they're coming in that this is a spiritual, biblically based offering, an offering where we look to the scripture. Most therapy and counseling, they will not offer advice. What they do is they navigate what the client wants, and they will help them to arrive at their desired level of whatever it is, the freedom or help in their soul. In a ministry, we are not going to stop there. We're going to actually say, let's consider what the Bible has to say. And so we're going to offer what is true discipleship. We're going to actually point to the scriptures, and we're going to offer a lot of prayer. It's not praying away the gay. It's actually praying into the soul, that the soul learns how to navigate their thinking, their feelings, and their desires. And, you know, quite honestly, they're talking about the very thing that they say, we pray the gay away. And actually, they're the ones that are hoping and demanding that we pray away the gay. And yet, it's not that simple. And it, for most people, it takes at least a year, if not 2 or 3 years, of intensive discipleship care and support groups. And when you talk through this and you start navigating your history, you find freedom in discipleship care. So that's what we offer.
Do you find yourself ministering to young people who have grown up in very conservative evangelical churches, homeschooled, etc.?
Yes, we are seeing that more, actually. And I think that's because you have even homeschoolers and people that are in conservative homes or that are being subjected to the cultural message. And so when you have people that it doesn't really matter which background they come from. When you are broken or you've had experiences that mom and dad don't even know about, and actually questioning and navigating their own temperament or their navigating their own personality. And because, like, example, like a young man who feels more artistic or emotional or sensitive, that now he's like automatically suspect and labeled gay. And so that's across all spectrums of little subcultures, church, people that are in every form of denomination, homeschooling. And so this is really permeating everywhere. And we have people that come and they bring their, because I'm in the state of Oklahoma where it's still safe, and we have young people that have come to us, some really wanting help. Those were able to actually come beside and serve and minister. The ones that don't, we'll meet with them a few times and say, you know, this is going to be counterproductive right now, and we hope and pray that in the future they may make a different decision. And we hope that they had a great experience with us. We want them to know that we're there to love them and to be a source of offering of help and encouragement if they want it. That's what we do.
All right. Well, how do folks connect with you, your ministry, and tell us how they can get a copy of your book?
Oh, well, thank you. First Stone, our website is first, all spelled out, firststone.org. It's a great way to connect. Just click on contact. And then on Freedom Realized, it has its own website, freedomrealized.org.
And First Stone, how'd you get the name?
We got our name from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 7, which says, "Let him who's without sin cast the first stone," and that was about the woman caught in the very act of adultery. And so we offer mercy and grace and hope to the sexual sinner.
All right, thank you so much. Stephen Black with First Stone Ministries, our guest today on Illinois Family Spotlight. Thanks for joining us, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.